On November 22nd, 1963, Mary McGrory and Daniel Patrick Moynihan were at Andrews Air Force Base waiting for the arrival of the dead body of John F. Kennedy. The president was shot that morning in Dallas, not very far from where the shootings occurred this week in Dallas. And the story is told that on that night, McGrory turned to Moynihan and said, "We will never laugh again." And Moynihan said, "We will laugh again, but we will never be young again." This week, we've had more than enough reason not to be young again, if that means naive. Because this week, news in breakneck speed moved us from Baton Rouge to Minnesota to Dallas, Texas. Social media covered the killings and protests that followed. The rhetoric quickly concerned violence in our country, and yes, once again, the issue of race. Once again, discussions concerned how whites and African Americans relate in this country or do not relate. And in these lazy, crazy, warm days of summer, we share the warmth of summer, yet sometimes we swim in segregated pools. But then again, what about 4 weeks ago this very night, when 49 people were killed and 52 injured in Orlando, Florida? That night, the Magic Kingdom lost its luster. Horrendous violence was unleashed in Florida against the members of the LGBT community who were shot in cold blood. And the media rhetoric now was about identity. 2 weeks ago, Pope Francis said that we should apologize to the LGBT community for Catholic rhetorical prejudice against them. Yet some American bishops, in issuing statements about Orlando, apparently took security in the previous two popes and preferred to think about objectively disordered than Francis's "Who am I to judge?" Some bishops have terminal laryngitis when it comes to identity. But gratefully, in God's providence, we come tonight after that kind of week to hear readings like these readings about the Word of God and about who is my neighbor and the fascinating parable that we just heard. Now, sometimes we know the parable only too well and think, oh yes, it's the Good Samaritan. But who is the Samaritan? Sometimes the enemy and usually the foreigner. Now, the priest and Levite walked by. Why? Because if they were to touch a dead body, they would not be able to offer sacrifice and they would be expelled from the temple. So they couldn't do it by way of the Mosaic law. That was the rule. But what is Jesus saying in the gospel tonight? It's more than rules. It is, in fact, showing mercy that goes beyond the Mosaic law. Who is my neighbor? And how do I treat my neighbor? I invite all of us this evening to examine our instincts and rhetoric when we enter into this election cycle for president, whose leadership matters on race relations and lots of other relations about who is our neighbor. And their rhetoric and our rhetoric is reality. There is no excuse for an unkind word or slur against anyone, ever, no way, no time, no how. I'll do that again. There is no excuse for an unkind word or slur against anyone, ever, no way, no time, no how. This week, a Fox News anchor, Gretchen Carlson, accused Roger Ailes of sexual harassment because words matter. And is that the only newsroom or workplace in the USA where words have been uttered and heard and been hurtful to the core? Parents, you tell your children, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me, because you want to shield them. That's not true. Words matter. Words hurt. Words occur. Ralph Cramden's name-calling of his wife Alice in the 1950s sitcom on Saturday Night's The Honeymooners was not funny ever. It was hurtful. Archie Bunker's name-calling to and about his wife Edith in the weekly 1970s sitcom was never funny in All in the Family. It was hurtful. And the kind of rhetorical overreach and verbal sparring that occurred weekly in this very city from the 1980s on in the McLaughlin Group, when John McLaughlin and Pat Buchanan continually drowned out Eleanor Clift, was never gracious, never admirable. It was simply demeaning and wrong. Words matter. Name-calling in presidential debates this year and candidate rallies has reached an abysmal low. And all too often, that rhetoric is about gender, race, and belief systems. Is not part of the shock and horror of using such rhetoric is that we are no longer shocked or horrified. Part of the lyrics in Stephen Sondheim's song, Children Will Listen, are the following. Careful the things you say, children will listen. Careful the things you do, children will listen. They will see and learn. Children may not obey, but children will listen. Children will look to you for which way to turn, to learn what to be. Careful before you say, listen to me. What is it that our children are listening to? What is it that we children of all ages are listening to? I fear sometimes much more vile and hurtful speech than reverent and healing rhetoric. The gospel asks, who is my neighbor? When God created us in his image and likeness and created the world, he created five continents but no national boundaries. We often say it's a small world, but do we engage in rhetoric across that makes the world smaller and smaller rather than a global village? The Pope keeps talking about migration and immigration, this enormous crisis and its causes. He learned that among the Latin American poor. The very first Mass Pope Francis celebrated outside the Vatican was on the island of Lampedusa in the Mediterranean, where Africans come literally seeking a new life on rafts and small boats. And they spend their life savings getting into a boat trying to get to a new promised land. And after the Mass, the people of Lampedusa gave him a gift, and it was a picture book of black and white photographs, 20 or so of people smiling, cheek to jowl, in the boats they got to Lampedusa. And the other 20 photographs of people cheek to jowl who were dead and had to be buried. Who is my neighbor? One more time this week, the issue of police work has come to the fore, and policing activity. Lots of outrage about those who died in Dallas. Lots of outrage about those who were killed in Baton Rouge and in St. Paul, Minnesota. I know something about police work. My two uncles were in New York. One was a firefighter and one was a cop. Why? Because that was steady income for high school graduates. And my uncle, the policeman, didn't fare very well. He fared poorly. he saw far too much than anyone should ever have to see about the seamy side of life. And I assure you, it was not the somewhat sanitized version of TV's Law and Order, where they end up most episodes in a Tony bar in the West Side. My uncle's experience led to unleashing the family gene of alcoholism. It was only when he left the force that he stopped drinking, but the damage had been done. His youngest son, Peter, my cousin, worshipped his father and joined the force. His alcoholism never went away. He and his wife separated after the children moved on their own. 2 years ago, I buried my cousin Peter because he died alone, and he thought unloved. My takeaway is that the families bear an enormous burden of police. What happens when they work 4 to 12 or worse, 12 to 8? I'm very concerned when a young person tells me they want to enter the police force. And I ask, what about your families? But we need to ensure public safety. What gives us hope then this weekend after such a week in our country? The same thing that always gives us hope, and that is this altar, where dying becomes rising and hope springs eternal. And we are challenged by these words, and we are treated as the Samaritan treated the wounded, with healing, bread and wine, body and blood. The inclusivity of the Catholic tradition is writ large every time we celebrate at this altar. No demeaning rhetoric, no disparaging remarks. Brother and sister are we. We need to speak that way and live that way. And that's a tall order. But we've given an example this week of the stakes are very high when people die. John Kennedy's assassination was a wake-up call to the country about violence and several other things. This month's senseless violence and acts against LGBT people, African Americans, and police all need to be evaluated and examined and assessed. Name-calling has to stop. Words matter. Actions matter. Countercultural virtues matter. He turned to her and said, "Mary, we will laugh again. But we will never be young again."